What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried, but I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See?
You were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cuz.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah.
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy shit. Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
I mean, goosebumps.
Hell?
Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Good afternoon to you. The Score listener, the Cubs Radio Network listener, perhaps leftover, and the Radiothon listener, those advocates for raising money for cancer research. My goodness, what a vibe today at the ballpark. I was up at Wrigley for a while. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Spiegel and Holmes. Alex Kuhn is here. He was up at Wrigley for a while. Chris Tannehill is here. Frankly, he should be sleeping. Right now, Danny Parkins is sleeping off a 24-hour consecutive broadcasting stint from the Radiothon. And Chris Tannehill deserves the same. But instead, we were gifted with the shortest baseball game of the entire season. An hour and 49 minutes. I was at the ballgame and I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll just come back. You know, I'll probably leave in the sixth or seventh. Oh my God, it's the sixth. Okay, time to go. All righty then. But I will say this, it's a glorious day in Chicago. I rode a Divvy bike, rode the e-bike, King Bleep, everybody. I rode it all the way back down to the station from glorious Wrigley Field on a beautiful Friday afternoon. Hope everyone is doing well. It is finally time for us to relax.
Hey, this is a really well-paced game. It's like Mark Burley stitching for both teams.
That was Theo's dream. That was it. That was his dream right there. It's exactly what he wanted. And some people think he's ruined our game.
Some people are saying that. It's just some people.
Just some
people. Their opinions are not more or less important than anyone else's, but some people are saying that.
Like people heavily involved in the radiothon,
sure.
Maybe.
That was at least an hour's less of alcohol you could have sold that could have gone directly into the Kyle Tucker, the Wu King Duck pile.
Don't pretend you care.
He's very concerned about the economy.
You don't care. What are you pretending to care about? That today. All you wanted was more rest and relaxation and less planning for 2 hours of Rock'em Sock'em Radio. But we got this, man. Like I was saying to you guys before the show, if I can't do 51 minutes of commercial-free radio right now, about the Cubs game, the trade deadline, the Ryan Sandberg vibes, and more. If I can't do 51 minutes of commercial-free radio, I should get out of the business, which is why I'm announcing my removal. No, no, no. We got this, people. Let's discuss. It was a really emotional and interesting day at the ballpark. Before we get to you and your feisty phone calls on the trade deadline, I can only assume they're going to be feisty because everywhere I've gone, conversations over the past day and a half have been like, that's it, huh? That was it, huh? That's what they did? And then there's some conversation, there's some contextualizing, there's some rationalization that is going on. And then it's usually either followed or preceded by, that's a pretty amazing job you guys did over there, raising all that money for cancer research. What was it, $760,000? What was our final number? Above 750.
It was at least $500, at least.
That's what I gave. That's what I gave. I didn't announce
$750,660.
Incredible. Incredible.
Whoa!
Yes, he's a stud. Danny Parkins is a stud. He broadcasts for 24 hours. It's unbelievable. And he sounded good. Like, most of the time, he sounded good. And even when he sounded bad, that was actually even better.
You were telling me that's your favorite part.
I waited. People were texting me, hey, Speaks, Danny sounds bad. Time to tune in. And I would immediately run for the radio wherever I was. Oh, boy, he's sleepy. That's right. But, man, and we've got, there's some haymakers that were delivered at his expense in delightful fashion that we will bring you towards the end of the show. And there's also some, like, hard-hitting journalism that went on about the trade deadline. Danny with Jed Hoyer, Danny with Jeff Passan. So we'll bring you some of that a little bit later as well. I mean, there's a lot to get to. But as I was saying, and we will do some Bears in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But as I was saying, just beautiful vibes before the game today. Super sad, but kind of loving as well. I mean, to be there and to stand for 23 seconds of silence, which felt, you know, sometimes people do a moment of silence. How long would you say a regular moment of silence is? 4 seconds? Maybe 5 seconds? 23? Whew, I felt that one. Felt that one. And it was intense and emotional. And I was talking at one point with my friend Marty Leonards of WXRT, the morning man of WXRT. He was on the field pregame because Buddy Guy was throwing out the first pitch. Does it get any more Chicago than Buddy Guy throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley on a Friday afternoon? And oh, by the way, there's Rick Sutcliffe and Andre Dawson and Sean Dunstan and Jody Davis all there to honor their beloved late friend Ryan Sandberg. And Marty's like turning to Tom Ricketts and Crane Kenny and those guys and saying, 40 years ago, here we all were watching this team, and now here we are watching them as they walked out to second base to deliver second base. It was Dunstan and Sutcliffe and Jody Davis, and Rick Sutcliffe just weeping as he's doing it. And they placed down a new base in the spot for second base, pull up the old one that had a 23 written on it. Not a dry eye in the house over there, but just it's going to be an intense weekend. It just is, and it's been an intense and interesting week. Really one of the more compelling and layered emotional weeks of radio I've been involved in. When you think about the 24 hours of cancer research for the thon, and you think about the day and a half of processing Rhino's loss that we did. And oh, by the way, underneath all of it is the trade deadline and everything that the Cubs and White Sox did and things that the Cubs and the White Sox did not do. So we will get into all of that. I feel like I'm keeping the wolves at bay for just a tiny little bit longer as I sit in the interesting and often beautiful vibes of the day in the last few days before we get to breaking down the trade deadline. But you know I want to, and you know we will. But I need to hear this because what we had today, Cal Ripken was at the ballpark with the Baltimore Orioles. And at one point, Alex Kuhn, you were up there in the media lunchroom because that's where you hang out. It seems to be your happy place.
Yeah, it's my spot.
Yeah, it's your spot. And you saw Cal Ripken come in and Ron Coomer stepped out of the radio booth and there was an embrace between two absolute gems of human beings in Coomer and Ripken.
Yeah, Ripken did a half inning in both the Orioles TV and radio booth. And when he walked out, Coom walked out as well and was like, "Hey, Rip." And the embrace was outstanding. Two amazing baseball people getting together in that moment. And yeah, like you said, vibes very high.
Vibes elite over there today. Complex and layered and elite. Ron Coomer during the game with Pat Hughes and Zach Zaidman and Paul Zerang. Coom with a really fun story about the late Ryne Sandberg.
Number 23 Cubs jersey. Honoring Ryne Sandberg, and I'm sure there will be plenty of those, both privately and publicly. Cub fans, I'm sure, are doing the same thing, Ron. It's just a very sad week. Here comes the 0-2 to Seiya. It's low and outside for a ball. Yep. Such a nice man. And obviously a great Hall of Fame ball player, one of the greatest second basemen the game has ever seen. Here's the 1-2, a foul off to the right, but just a decent human being.
But you're right, and we had a great time because you were, when you got inducted into the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago, you know, the rest of us were in there to support you going in. Well, Rhino was one of those guys.
Deep fly ball to right center, playable for Carlson. The ball is not carrying today, and that's out number one.
But we had a great time the final night, you know, where, you know, everything kind of settles down. Andre Dawson, Fergie, Rhino were there. Rhino and I were getting dinner together. And it was just fun. And he was talking about your speech, and we were laughing. And he was just ecstatic for you. But that was just him. He's just a really good person. And it's a very sad week for our group.
Coom went on to say how Rhino looks over at Coom after the speech and he goes, "Boy, you got some good job security, don't you?" Talking to Coom after what Pat said about him. Because you remember what Pat said about him in the speech.
As long as I'm doing radio play-by-play for the Cubs, I want to have Ron Coomer right next to me.
That's pretty great. When the Hall of Famers decided you're the man, you're not going anywhere.
And then Rhino realized that, hey, that's good for you, isn't it?
Way to give him the business. Oh, my God. So good. And the Cubs hold on for a 1-0 win. Interesting win in light of the trade deadline because, folks, Cade Horton didn't have his accuracy, didn't have his location, but he got through 5 scoreless innings. And it's indicative of what the deadline showed and what the future will mean in a lot of ways. Cade Horton right now is a playoff starter for the Cubs, for better or for worse. The top three, if you'd ask me right now, are Matthew Boyd, Shota Imanaga, and Cade Horton. We'll see how Jameson Taillon looks when he comes back. But he was having a year of plenty of ups and then some downs where he was showing you what he is. He's a 3, sometimes a 4. Now the 5 is probably going to be Mike Soroka, who pitches on Monday. Ben Brown is going to pitch tomorrow. And what I frankly flat out hope will be his last start of the year with the Chicago Cubs. I think it's high time that Ben Brown gets converted into a 2-pitch killer of a reliever. And maybe he will at this point because he could absolutely be a guy, multiple innings or short stints, as long as he can get a handle on the entrance and the first couple of batters in terms of being under control. His stuff, I think, will play beautifully out of the bullpen, and you need a lot of bullpen guys. Here's a fact that I read this morning that I think speaks to what the Cubs are doing and what a lot of other teams are doing. In last year's postseason, relievers accounted for 52% of all innings pitched. Relievers pitched more than starters last year in the postseason. That is something that is not going to change. You need piles and piles of bullpen arms. Andrew Kittredge is a very solid bullpen pickup. He has the best chase rate in MLB, 41.7%. He throws that nasty slider that's like 89, 90. You saw it today. People can't hit that. It looks like fastball and then dies and gets out of the zone. It's truly nasty. Kittredge has been in a lot of big games. He will be an effective and useful high-leverage right-handed reliever. Okay? Taylor Rogers is a third dependable lefty for the bullpen and probably leaps ahead of Drew Pomerantz in the circle of trust immediately. And Caleb Thielbar has been great. He was great again today, but he can't go every day, every inning, every time you need a lefty. Taylor Rogers will get used an awful lot. I told you, I think Ben Brown will probably end up being converted to reliever and should be. That's three arms you could use out there. We'll see what happens with Colin Ray. Maybe he's your sixth starter for a while. But they loaded up on the bullpen, and the only starter they got was Mike Soroka. And Soroka is going to pitch on Monday. He's been pretty good of late. Over his last four starts, he's got an ERA of 3 with 17 strikeouts and a 200 opponent's batting average. But look, I was disappointed. I am a little disappointed that they didn't get a front of the rotation starter. I wanted that, was calling for it, was dreaming of it. But very few of those guys moved. Just about none of those guys moved. Dylan Cease didn't move as a rental. In terms of guys with extra years of control, Sandy Alcantara didn't move. Mitch Keller, Joe Ryan, right? These guys didn't move. Zach Gallen, even as a rental, didn't move because Arizona decided to hold on and they'll make him the qualifying offer and they'll take the compensatory draft pick, if nothing else. There is a big pile of starting pitchers that didn't end up moving. Luis Severino did not move. And a lot of these guys, it just didn't happen because teams were not willing to meet the cost. Is that the right thing that happened on the Cubs' behalf? Is it the right thing that happened on a lot of other teams' behalf? Here's Jeff Passan in the middle of the night with our Danny Parkins talking about what he thought of the Cubs' front office and their moves.
Yeah, I think the Cubs could have gotten Gino Suarez. I also think that Matt Shaw over the last dozen or so games, and I know you said up and it's hard to move off of the guy when he's in the middle of an up. Because what do you do with Matt Shaw? I suppose they could have then flipped Matt Shaw to go and get the aforementioned pitcher, but Matt Shaw is in the first year of a career that I imagine is going to last for a very long time. And to give up on a guy in the middle of an up-and-down season is the sort of move that the Cubs, that these Cubs, just don't make. This is a very disciplined front office, and you can argue sometimes a little bit too disciplined. But I think the way that they look at this, and I'm going to use this in the context of 2016. When the Cubs went and traded Gleyber Torres to go out and get Aroldis Chapman, they were chasing history, they were chasing ghosts, but more than anything, they were chasing the fact that they had a damn good team, and there was one very clear area of need. Is this team as good as the 2016 team? It is not. But is this team good enough to go chase that one very clear area of need? I think you can make an argument that, yeah, it has been to this point, and that they deserve to see just how good they can be, and that opportunity was hindered at the trade deadline.
It's interesting. I understand if you're frustrated. I share some of it. But when you zoom out and you think about it, what they always said, and what a lot of teams believe, is it's about how many times you can be good, how many times you can get in and give yourself enough bites at the apple in the postseason with its randomness to give yourself a shot. And they believe that they're good enough in the wide open season to have as much of a shot as anybody. I worry about the rotation, but man, they're loaded up in the bullpen. And now the pressure's on Craig Counsell to get it done with all of those arms in the bullpen and hopefully with enough starting pitching that it can carry them when it needs to. It's the best offense in baseball, and it needs to show up every single day between here and the end of the season and in the postseason. The pressure is on. Just one run today was scary. Daniel Palencia then gave up a couple of very hard hit balls in the ninth. But they got it done. With the help of the wind a little bit in the ninth, yeah. But they got it done. This is going to be a harrowing last few months of the season. I think it's going to be a compelling and dramatic and sometimes terrifying postseason. But guess what? It kind of always is, even when you're great. 2016 Cubs, that postseason was harrowing. That postseason was dramatic with ups and downs, and they were almost toast with the Giants in that series. Lucky to come back and get that done. Obviously, down 3-1 to Cleveland in the World Series. And then that game tied after the Rajay Davis home run. That was harrowing. It just feels like they're signing up for the terror. They're signing up for the drama. But I think they believe that even if they'd gone out and made more deals and got themselves a front-end starter, that they would still end up in the drama. So they didn't want to give up a lot from the system to weaken them in future years. Let's hear Jed Hoyer. Why don't I open the phone lines with you? We're in the middle of some commercial-free radio right here on 670 The Score. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. And the phone number is 312-644-6767. Let's listen to Jed Hoyer with Danny Parkins on first, not getting that front-end starter.
You know, going into it specifically, I think a lot of those guys would have, you know, not only taken off the major league team, but taken a lot of depth of our system. And, you know, ultimately we made the decision that those prices didn't make sense for us to be sustainably successful. And I think the market sort of said that no one else did either, right? You know, we're not the only team that was in that market. There's a lot of teams looking for that kind of starting pitcher. And I think, you know, obviously the fact that everyone sort of made the same decision, it kind of tells you that the teams that had those kind of pitchers, they really value them. It's hard to draft and develop and or, you know, have a starting pitcher like that under control. And so I think when teams do, rightfully, they expect, you know, a massive return to do it. And so, like I said, you know, we made that decision organizationally that was not the right thing for us. And obviously the fact that none of those guys changed hands indicates that we weren't alone.
They were not alone. There was only a couple possible high-end starters that got moved. And really, they're rentals with odd situations for the most part. I mean, Merrill Kelly is a rental. I really would have loved to see them make a big run at Merrill Kelly. That would have felt, frankly, a lot different, I think, today than it does. But he went to Texas, and maybe Texas jumped the market a little bit with a few hours left before the deadline as Jed and others were trying to get some of those guys with controllable contracts into the future years. So Texas said, oh, all right, we'll give you a lot for Merrill Kelly, and grabbed probably the best rental available, considering Dylan Cease did not move. Shane Bieber going to Toronto is intriguing. And I kind of wish the Cubs found a way to do that. But guess what? He's only thrown 12 innings since coming back from his most recent injury, and there have been a lot of them. So Toronto taking a flyer that he could turn into some lightning in a bottle after only 12 innings pitched coming off this one injury. So, I mean, other than that, there's not a lot of starting arms of consequence that really happened. Would you rather have Adrian Hauser than Mike Soroka? Maybe. But they know Hauser awfully well. Craig Counsell knows him awfully well. Let's listen to Jed talking big picture here about going for it in this one season with this opportunity versus overall being good a number of years and into the future and making sure that's the case.
Every opportunity to win a championship is precious, but then you want to be set up for sustained success going forward. I got to imagine that's a pull, like a tug and pull battle for you, because like this team feels good enough to win a championship, but
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Maybe not at the expense of one 3 years from now, but this one matters more than the hypothetical 3 years from now. How do you wrestle with it?
No, that's the wrestling match over and over is, you know, is that right? It's at what expense are you doing this to your future? And listen, like, we had a lot of conversations about controllable starters. We had a lot of conversations about, you know, good relievers. I think ultimately it wasn't an unwillingness to part with prospects. It was sort of an unwillingness to go to the length that we would have to go and the depth and the volume we would have to go. So I think there's no question, you know, you have to be willing to part with prospects to get really good players. I think the question is just how many and at what cost. But you framed it really well, and that's the constant back and forth you have all the time. Like, you know, and also it isn't, it's about what players are actually available. And I think that's always an important thing. At the deadline, it's a sort of a select group of players based on who's out of the race and who's willing to transact. Some of the guys that people thought were available, like, they weren't actually even available. There was, you know, the teams that said, we're just not going to talk about that. So it isn't free agency. You know, it's a kind of thing where sometimes there's just simply players that are unattainable, either because they're on contenders or because the teams, you know, want to win next year and they don't want to focus on that, or they don't want to do that to their fan base. So, in some ways, it was an interesting deadline in the sense that some of the teams that I really expected to sell bought, and some of the teams that I expected to sell just stood pat. And when that happens, there's not much you can do to make those players available. So I think in that regard, it was certainly an interesting deadline because the behavior wasn't quite as rational as usual.
It's interesting. If you zoom out and just think about the overall deadline from the Major League Baseball perspective, it was unbelievable. Like, there was crazy amount of drama and intrigue and a ton of deals. What were there, 35 trades? I think there were 35 trades. And, I mean, and stuff coming out of nowhere. Carlos Correa going back to Houston. Suarez, in late night, going to Seattle. And there's an amazing story about Suarez going essentially from one plane to another, leaving his team, the Diamondbacks, who were playing, who had just flown in to play the A's, and then flying out with his Seattle team, who had just played the A's from happenstance. Like, there was craziness going on, but not for starting pitchers. There were three top 100 prospects per MLB Pipeline who got traded at this deadline, and all three of those were in deals for relievers. The one from the Padres, Leo DeVries, going from the Padres to the A's in the Mason Miller deal. And then the two Phillies prospects, Eduardo Tate, the catcher, and Mick Abel, the pitcher, going from the Phillies to the Twins in the Duran trade. So only three top 100 prospects moved, and they were both in deals for relievers. The Yankees gave up six of their top 30 prospects for three relievers: David Bednar, Jake Bird, Camilo Duval. So add that to what I told you. 52% of all innings pitched in the postseason last year were by relievers. That's what the game is about. You saw it. You saw the Dodgers have a bullpen game in the World Series. So that's what it is. Meanwhile, the Rangers going old school, going for Merrill Kelly. And they gave up three young arms, which perhaps the Cubs could not have even matched, to go to Arizona in that trade. But an interesting deadline. I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Are you pissed at the Cubs? Do you understand where Jed is coming from? Does it change at all the way that you feel about the rest of this season and the postseason? Oh, by the way, the Cubs won today. They're up. They won 1-0. They're a half game back of the Brewers. They are 19 games over 500. They are the only team in baseball with a run differential over 100 at plus 114. Having a terrific season, but it just feels a little funky coming off that deadline. Or are you starting to wrap your head around it? 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's start with Patrick in Ottawa on the Score. What's up, Patrick? You're on with Me Speaks. What's going on?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Great.
Assad's coming back, Porter Hodges coming back, and Tyon's coming back. So we got starters coming back and Hodge. But I got one name for you to prove that Jed Hoyer is the man on this one, and it's Jose Quintana. I'm still burning about that one. We gave away our soul to get Quintana, and that did not work out. Keep your prospects. Keep the pipeline open, baby. Keep the pipeline open, because, you know, in 2015, if we would have traded everything, it wasn't the year. Maybe next year is the year. Keep the pipeline open, baby.
That's the idea, is to keep those prospects and to keep your currency.
Quintana. You're welcome.
That's Don Cooper in Mitch's office as I had him play Continuation. That's what that was. That's me holding my phone, recording Don Cooper. I don't remember what the category was. What could the category have been?
Current Cubs, possibly,
current
at the
Cubs
time?
Yeah. Yes. Current Cubs. Current Cubs is exactly right, as Don Cooper was sitting there. 312-644-6767. That guy supports the position that they're in. This is Terry from Aurora on Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. What's up, Terry?
Hey, how you doing, Speaks?
Good, man.
I guess my problem is, you know, what is Kyle Tucker feeling right now? Here, you guys want to sign this guy? You know, why would he want to sign here if you're going to end up playing for a team that's going to, you know, get 40,000 fans but end up in second place? I mean, it just, you know, they're not going to sign him next year, and their outfielder is in AAA this year.
It's an interesting question about how it feels for somebody you're trying to impress to see a team do some but not do a ton. You know, it's a real thing, the effect that it can have on players and in the room when you show them that you believe in them and you freaking go for it. It is a real thing. And right now in the National League, every Astros player knows how serious the Astros are about trying to win a World Series. They're picking up Carlos Correa, split that money with Minnesota, and they've done this before, pick up an old friend and trying to go to the World Series again. They did it in 2018 when they went out and got Verlander again, right? Was it 18? I think it was 18.
He got an unfinished tattoo on his collarbone right here that honestly looked terrible. It was a bad tattoo.
I wonder if the tattoo's finished. Correa can speak on that. First question tonight in post-game. Carlos, first question. Do you know if Jose Altuve ever finished that tattoo? Have you looked at it? Have you guys talked about it?
There's a buzz around this ballpark, guys.
Oh, man. Yeah, good thing you left Minnesota. That team was trash, right? You're begging on that can, right? Doesn't even make any sense. So anyway, if you're the Astros, you know you're going for it. The Padres always going for it. AJ Preller's a freaking madman. That's what he is.
And they are always going for it. They go for it in weird ways, though, man. That's a strange team and a strange roster he has now put together. They did add Ryan O'Hearn, so they added some bats that way. But adding Mason Miller and not getting rid of Suarez was awfully interesting. The Padres are fascinating. They always are. So, and then if you're the Mets, you know you've got Steve Cohen and you're just flat out going for it. Look, there is an unfortunate reality hanging over the game in every facet. And Rob Manfred was on our station today. Let me tell you that that's not the unfortunate reality, that Rob Manfred was on our station. I think it's actually kind of cool. Commissioner was there. Cubs are getting the All-Star game in 2027. But folks, 2027 might not exist. And that fact is hanging over the heads of certain franchises and the way that they operate and the way that they think about everything. Here is Rob Manfred, who was on the pregame show with Zach Zaidman and Bruce Levine, talking about a potential lockout in 2027.
Look, I think that you need to stay on the optimistic. I think when you have an issue like labor, you need to approach the process in a professional but optimistic manner. We actually have a pretty good track record over the last 25 years, and I feel confident that we can keep that track record intact. I think the biggest challenge is trying to find an agreement that works for everybody. I am a believer that there can be win-win agreements, but it takes a certain mindset on the part of both parties, a certain flexibility, and I hope we're going to find that when we get to the table.
But I'll tell you what's not going to be fun is talking about that for as long as we're going to need to talk about that and to live in that space and to break down labor versus ownership and to talk about the salary cap and the salary floor that is necessary for the game to move forward from owners' perspectives and not from certain players' perspectives. And there's going to be a split amongst the union and blah, blah, blah. It's already uncomfortable. Here in the middle of a baseball season, it stinks. But it's part of the very fabric of what's going on. Historic announcement today as the Cubs and Wrigley Field are going to get the All-Star game. Really cool ceremony this morning over at Wrigley. Crane Kenny was on our midday show with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Very, very cool. Fun interview where they talked a little music at one point, which I thought was really compelling. But anyway, they also talked about the All-Star game. And listen to Crane talk about the 2027 All-Star game and a little contingency that is already in place.
Yeah, so the league typically grants games 2 years in advance. So we know already that Philadelphia's got the next game, and then we would have 27. They'll grant the 28 game next year. So in 2026, they'll do because the planning takes so long, someone will get 28. 29 will be open. Last thing in the world we need is a work stoppage. If it were to happen in 27 and we were to lose the game, 29 would be open.
So that contingency is kind of built into the conversation and the agreement with MLB. That's how real it is. That's how real this possibility is. And when you think about it, if teams and orgs and the commish are thinking about the likelihood of losing a year there, then are you going to spend a huge pile of money on contracts when you might give somebody $35, $40 million for a year that doesn't exist? For a year of performance that does not exist? Are you going to give up some of your high-end prospects who are super-duper cheap when the entire sport might be on the verge of going over a complete financial recalibration that only increases the value of high-priced, low-end experience, not high-priced, high-value, low-year experience, like your prospects. The value of those prospects is only going to go up if there is this missed year for massive restructuring. And I think that 2027 reality is very much in the heads of the Cubs business side and I think sometimes the baseball side. I'm curious to hear this. I didn't hear it. This is Jed on if Kyle Tucker were to leave and not be paid, which is certainly part of the subtext of what I was talking about, if Owen Casey, who we did not trade, is going to end up the next man up to play right field?
Well, certainly, you know, I think Owen's a really good player, and he's had a great year, and that we think he's going to be a really bright part of our future. And I think that he also can be part of a bright future that you know, involves Kyle Tucker as well. So, they're somewhat connected in a way, because I think it's hard to find left-handed slug, and you know, he's really performed well, and he's still really young. He's a great kid, but it isn't as if we can't have both. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's, you know, when I look around baseball, there's so many teams I think struggle, you know, with their position playing group. And I think we have a really envious group of position players, and that's really, you know, fueled a lot of our success this year is that we play really good defense. We have a great approach at the plate. We have a good offense. We run the bases well, and I think that's something that we want to continue.
So I understand holding on to Owen Casey. I don't necessarily love it, but if you're not able to get an Alcantara or some of these, Joe Ryan, Mackenzie Gord, these guys with control, and he didn't want to give up somebody for another kind of starting pitcher, I get it. I totally get it. Do they have enough? I don't know. Do they have a chance? Absolutely. It's going to be some fun, some high drama fun the rest of the way. And I want to talk with you about it. 312-644-6767. This is Bowman on the Score. Bowman!
Hey, thanks, guys. It speaks. I got to say, I love that music, man. I love
music,
the music.
In general?
But hey, the trade deadline, I got to tell you, I'm tired of hearing about it. This Cubs team, they got moxie. And they got culture, and reinforcements are coming. There weren't many people we could go out and get, guys, all right? You know, there weren't many. Okay, Sale, you could, you know, Dylan Cease. But I'm not saying let's pay a lot of money here. I don't want to put the farm out there. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. I don't want to put the farm out there either. Yeah, you need the farm. I mean, you know, I like corn. I like a lot of stuff that comes from farms. You guys, Alex, Tanny, you guys like stuff, you know?
Look, the Cubs, they got the culture. You know, the song, God loves music. The song also says they got the power and they got the speed.
They do.
So
yeah,
I find that comforting.
To be the best in the National League. Thank God they're still there. There's no other factual in corrections in that song. Here on WGN, Alex is in Kenosha on 670 The Score. What's up, Alex? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right. So the only thing I wanted to ask and maybe get your opinion on is, you know, Jed says things like, well, you know, the other teams didn't get starting pitchers. They just, you know, they weren't available at the prices, you know, that everybody was willing to pay. But I look at the teams like the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Padres, and they probably are pretty comfortable with their three starters that would pitch in a playoff series. And I look at our three, and there's big question marks. I mean, even from Matt Boyd's durability to the K per nine on all three of our starters between Horton, Shota, and Boyd, they're eight Ks per nine or less. And so, yeah, they didn't go get him, but they said, we like our starters for the playoffs, and we're going to go get elite closers like Helsley, like Duran, and they augmented their starting pitchers with great relievers. We didn't get any relievers that, you know, are on the elite side. They're fine, but you know, that's where it's like, Jed, you're the one that sets the market if you need it, and you didn't go get it. And so the other guys are saying, that's fine. You didn't get starters, and we got better relievers than you. So, I mean, that's where I struggle with what Jed's take is.
I understand what you're saying. I can't necessarily disagree. I mean, like, the Phillies are the fourth best rotation in baseball. The Brewers are the second best rotation in baseball. The Mets are the fifth best rotation in baseball. So those teams feel pretty damn good about the rotation and didn't feel like they needed to go crazy and go out and add another. And the Phillies instead went and got Duran. The Brewers didn't do much of anything. The flyer on Jordan Montgomery is pretty interesting. I got to say, that's a pretty interesting thing. I wonder if they can do anything with that guy. Shelby Miller as just sort of a bottom end piece, but they're so good as a pitch lab. Who knows what they're going to do? But to your point, and then the Phillies go get Duran and the Mets go get Helsley and some other pieces. Mets added a lot in their bullpen. They got a Rogers. not Taylor Rogers. That's our guy. They got Tyler Rogers. That's their guy. That's the righty submariner as opposed to the over the top lefty that the Cubs got. But yeah, no, your point is valid. Now the Padres, they just got 7 shutout innings from Yu Darvish. Maybe they think Yu Darvish is coming back. But there was even talk that they were going to turn Mason Miller into a starter. That AJ Preller was going to do that. That guy's nuts. He's just aggressive and he's empowered by an ownership group. Even after the death of Peter Seidler, he seems to be still empowered to do all kinds of stuff. He's just a fascinating GM. But I get what you're saying. I understand your frustration. This is Gary in Wisconsin on 670 The Score. Gary, you're on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. What's up?
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Good.
What I was interested in was your thoughts, Speeds, on Kyle Tucker. There's been all this talk about him being a $500 million-plus guy. And when you look at the last 30 games, you know, he's very good, but, you know, $500 million, wow. So you may want to really think about him not being there and how are you going to supplement the lineup without him. And I was curious as to how much thought you might have given to that topic.
In terms of beyond this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next year or not. Yeah. He's here this year. I'm talking about him unlikely if he's going to draw, you know, $500 million, and as I said, is looking at his stats, they're good, but you know, $500 million seems a little bit rich to me.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, they're going to have to go out and get a free agent probably to fill right field as opposed to handing it to Owen Casey, if that is indeed the situation. And then Owen Casey can come in with a little bit more of a possible cushion. But we've got time to look at that. I mean, there is still a chance, obviously, they could get it done with Tucker, but I'm more discouraged than I have been really at any point during the course of the year, partially because Casey didn't move, partially because the reality of what 2027 means is kind of making itself a little bit more apparent. So I must admit to my discouragement in that way, but we'll have time to figure it out. The thing is, right now, I hope no one is doubting the value of Kyle Tucker. I was talking to somebody at the game today. It was like, "Do you think he's worth it?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "But yeah, but look what the last couple of months. Well, he got on base 4 times the other day in the matinee finale in Milwaukee, and he's a really good hitter who also is willing to walk. My issue right now is that behind him, Seiya Suzuki is lost. He's a mess right now. And I don't know what's happening. This happens to him every once in a while. It's been a wonderful first half of the year. But Seiya's in an odd funk. He did hit a fly ball hard today at 100 plus miles an hour. He has been hitting the ball hard a few more times over the recent games, but it's, you know, when Tucker takes a walk or doesn't get it done, then you say it comes up and you're like, yes, you know, it's not really going to happen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
There were a couple moments today. Whew, man, after the Shaw double, the Shaw leadoff double, your nine-hitter doubles, and you've got 1-2-3 coming up, and he doesn't score. That was rough. But I think Tucker's the real deal. I hope they pay him. I'm afraid that they will not. This is Andy in Wisconsin, who has been patient and has been hanging around here with us on 670 The Score. What's up, Andy? Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, brother, for taking my call. I'm going to go a little different direction than, you know, what did or didn't happen at the, you know, deadline.
Okay.
First, I want to start out and say what you guys did for the second year in a row. I'm driving. I live in Wisconsin now. It brought tears to my eyes. It made me so proud to be a born and raised Chicagoan and seeing what you folks and all your partners and all the scoreheads have done for the second year in a row. Unbelievable. I got to leave it at that. Oh, otherwise I get choked up again. But then, you know, secondly, you know, with the passing of Rhino, the emotions of the ups and the downs, and then, you know, I was crashing hard. And then I heard a lot of all these people talk about him and all these reporters and just everybody. It made the landing not as bad as a crash landing. It made it softer. So I really appreciated that, you know. And then the last thing today, I'm listening to the game, you know, in my work truck, I'm driving, and I hear that last ball get hit. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, here we go. All of a sudden, when I hear him, he's going back to the wall, I could picture Rhino with his big kid grin smile blowing the ball back and saying, not today, boys, not today.
I'll give you that, Andy. I'll give you that. Man, folks, I don't know if you believe in stuff like that, but I will never, never be the guy that tells people not to believe in stuff like that. You know? I mean, I've had recent experiences, lost my dad a little bit more than a month ago, and there was stuff surrounding that that felt metaphysical. It felt and seemed spiritually bigger than what we can all understand. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. And I just, it's been an overwhelming week. For some reason, I found myself thinking about Rick Sutcliffe on the show yesterday in this time slot with me and Danny on the Spiegel and Holmes show in the midst of the Radiothon. Sutcliffe talking about his beloved pal. They drove back and forth to the ballpark for 7 years, you know? But over the recent weeks, Sut said that they started to pray together. They had never prayed together. You kidding me? Just, you know, for some reason that hit me hard, among other things. It's been an intense, intense week. And appreciate the thought, Andy, about what it's been like around here. Been a heavy emotional lift, but a really special one to get a chance to do. And with that, of course, we pivot directly back to hot trade deadline talk. And Bailey in Kenosha wants to know why they didn't get Joe Ryan. Let's talk about it, Bailey.
With that, we'll pivot to the negative.
What do you got, Bailey?
So I'm fully on board with Jed and the whole not want to sell out for the whole future with all the prospects that we have and everything.
Yeah.
But when you see Minnesota just completely gut their roster with all the moves they made,
yeah,
why are we not giving guys like Alcantara, you have Jonathan Long, and really just, I mean, the plethora of talent we have out there. Why not sell out for a guy like Joe Ryan who has controllability? I don't really fully understand that.
It's a great question. I'd love to know what the Twins brass is saying about why they didn't move Joe Ryan. Alex, take a poke around the old internet, because they traded 10 players. I think they have one. I think Byron Buxton is under contract next year. I don't know how many other vets they even have under contract next year. They need a whole new roster. I mean, it's amazing. But they obviously didn't get what they wanted for Joe Ryan, who's about as valuable as anybody would have been on this market. But maybe teams just weren't willing to give it up for these guys. It's a great question. I can't pretend to know the answer. I can't. But I do believe that Jed is not alone in this one in terms of not wanting to give up everything that those teams are wanting for the Joe Ryans of the world. Let's talk about a player I'm really excited to have here from Minnesota, and that's Willie Castro. I am a fan of that dude, been a fan of that dude all year long. He's been on my fantasy team. And, you know, that's been a very important part of his season. I have no doubt that Willie Castro has been touched to have been a part of my fantasy team. But here's the thing. He plays everywhere. This year he has played every position except catcher and first base, Willie Castro. And he's been really solid at most of them. You don't love him at shortstop. You don't love him in center field. But he can do it if he needs to. But he can play everywhere. And he's having his best offensive year. He's tapping into his power more. He's got 10 homers and 344 plate appearances. He hit 12 last year as a career high, and that was in like 300 more trips to the plate. But now he's already hit 10, and he's a switch hitter. He crushes lefties, absolutely crushes lefties. So, and that's this year. He's been mostly neutral on platoons. But anyway, good dude, good player, super utility, great piece of a roster. Here's Craig Counsell on the acquisition of Willie Castro.
Look, we've played a very regular group, lineup, right? And we've asked a lot of those guys. And we've been fortunate. They've been healthy. We've been fortunate there. I think... You know, Willie's a really good player, and he has a skill set that's kind of rare in this league, in that he's capable of playing infield and outfield and get regular at bats, and because he's a switch hitter. I think it covers us in a lot of places, but he also can, you know, be a regular if that needs to happen. And regardless, it's kind of a version of a sixth man, I guess, maybe is a good way to say it. And I think it's during this stretch of the season, it's going to be important.
So that's Craig Counsell from pregame today talking about Willie Castro, who essentially was a regular in Minnesota. So looking forward to see how he gets utilized. I will see if he ends up in the lineup one of these two weekend days. One more piece of Craig from pregame, because he's the man who now is going to have to deal with this entire pitching staff that he has. He was asked if he thought he needed one more starter than Jed Hoyer delivered.
I think the trade deadline is a negotiation with teams. It's a job for Jed to be responsible to this team and to future Cubs teams, and you go through the process and it goes how it goes. And I think we successfully added to this team. You got to make smart moves. You got to make good moves. Like Jed did that.
So yeah, it's interesting. Craig, remember last time before Ben Brown threw, I guess it was two times ago, said we're short. We're short on starting pitchers. And then Brown was bad. And then the next time they went with Brown again, and he was good. Five innings that mattered. Got 15 outs. Now it will not be Brown tomorrow. I think it's Boyd tomorrow as we look at this, right? As we are looking ahead to the weekend. And the Saturday game tomorrow, the Cubs and the Orioles, it is going to be Sugano against Boyd tomorrow. And then on Sunday for the Cubs and the Orioles, it is Colin Ray against TBD for Baltimore. So there you go. Soroka, I believe, is going to pitch on Monday. So look, a ton of sound from some very important people about some very important topics. But before we take a break and get to the Bears, we need to hear perhaps the most important topic of all being discussed. And this is by Chris Tannehill's admission, the most important topic of all. Right, Tanny? This is, just to be clear, you think this is more important than processing feelings on the loss of Ryan Sandberg, cancer research, anybody in the trade deadline, any Bears, anything, right?
Yeah, I think so, because this affects someone I know personally, and this is the reason why we saved it for the very last minute of the hour, because we wanted as close to 5 o'clock as possible. But this is the most important thing I heard on the radio station today. This is Crane Kenny with Raheem and Harris.
Well, yeah, it kicks off with Matt Spiegel singing the national anthem on the first day of the series. You know, that unfortunately got postponed because of the rain. You have that to look forward to too.
Well, Matt actually can carry that off. That'll be one of our better renditions, I have a feeling.
I'm sure he'll love to hear that.
Yes, Layla, he would love to hear that. And he is loving hearing that right now. No pressure, though.
One of our better renditions.
Yeah, and there's been quite a few.
There's been a lot.
Did you like hearing that more, or that someone was willing to pay, like, upwards of $1,000 to host Hit and Run with you?
I got to
know this.
I liked all that stuff. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Look, I didn't get into this business to not have validation. I mean, that's not why I didn't get in.
It's why we all do this.
Yeah, it's why
I got in the business for sure, to see your reaction to hearing that for the first time.
No, that's really cool. That's exciting. So yeah, Monday the 18th, the day game, I get to sing the national anthem with my buddy Kurt Morrison on guitar. I tell you, every time this woman sings today, Lauren Hall, she just absolutely crushes it. Every time she sings, I'm like, oh boy, all right, I got work to do. Got to make sure I stand up strong. She was great today. And obviously, John Vincent is great. And everybody gets a chance to do it. It often does an excellent, excellent job. And I'm looking forward to my chance on Monday the 18th.
Yeah, you'll have one of the better ones. So, you know, so that's great.
I better. Thanks to Layla Rahimi for bringing that up. That's pretty cool. And thanks to Crane Kenny for the belief. It is 670 The Score. It is the Spiegel and Elm Show here. The Bears have been practicing for days. We have barely discussed. They didn't practice today, but oh boy, there's been a lot going on and a lot we need to check in terms of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and some of the targets who have spoken and been spoken about. You'll get that next on 670 The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.